Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of M&A Research and Strategy. It's Friday, 10th July 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So Essan, we've entered the second half of 2020, and it would appear that we've overcome the dark clouds that marred the Middle East region in the first half of the year. But what can investors expect over the next 6 months?
Thanks, Ona. So yes, we clearly entered the second half with much more optimism than we stood 3 months ago. So lockdowns and social distancing measures continue to ease across the MENA region as authorities have attempted to strike the delicate balance between limiting further damage to their economies weighed against health risks. Now, the reopening of economies are coming at a time when the number of COVID-19 infections across the region and indeed globally are still rising. And so authorities are cognizant that they might have to impose new restrictions at any time. And a second wave of the virus infections, particularly in Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Israel, as well as the precipitous rise in the current first wave in Iraq and Oman, is of concern to us. And the outbreak in other parts of the region appears a little bit more under control, while in places like Jordan, Lebanon, and Tunisia, the number of cases has literally grounded to a halt. Now, nevertheless, the spread of COVID-19 remains ever apparent, and with various clusters likely to keep popping up, highlighting that a further rise in infections can't be ruled out until the pandemic is contained globally or a vaccine, or indeed like the Spanish flu dying out naturally. Now, as far as our regional forecasts are concerned, our base case assumes that we continue in a path of a tentative and occasionally interrupted reopening, rather than seeing a further iterative waves of the pandemic that forces a return to any of the draconian lockdowns that we've seen before. However, this doesn't mean that we have no lingering impact on consumer behavior from the pandemic, or indeed no permanent economic damage from the measures put in place to contain it, and far from it. Our forecasts point to a region which, by the end of 2021, has a level of activity that is not just well before below its pre-pandemic growth trajectory, but in many cases still below its end 2019 level. And we forecast deep recessions across almost all MENA regional economies, with overall world GDP growth to contract in 2020 by -5.6% from +0.2% in 2019, whilst we see the GCC region in particular falling -3.9% this year from +0.6% last year. And just taking a step back, big picture, the MENA exporters, which comprise more than 80% of regional GDP, have grappled with shocks to both the demand side through COVID-19-induced consumption evisceration and the supply side through low oil prices and oil production curbs. And facing either one of these shocks would be unprecedented. And the combination of the two clearly signals an acute recession this year. However, we would state that our confidence in these economies' capacity to weather the losses has strengthened recently. And part of the rationale is explained by the firming in global oil markets, with a combination of a recovering demand, as well as OPEC Plus's success in its oil market management strategy in supporting oil prices, witnessing the best quarter for US WTI crude since 1990 in the second quarter of this year. And whilst we have been consistently remained resolutely long oil since early May, the price rebound has been striking and indeed above our even own consensus expectations. And we believe that with the supply below demand now, the market deficit has carved out a sort of cyclical bottom in prices for Brent around $35 per barrel and around $30 per barrel for WTI. And crucially, I would add that most MENA oil exporters have proven effective in using their large accumulation of wealth in recent decades to offset the impact of low oil receipts, drawing down savings and leveraging their balance sheet to retain access to international capital markets. And coupled with easing liquidity constraints, this has allowed these oil exporters to comfortably fund large budget shortfalls, particularly in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the UAE, without building pressures on their currencies or indeed on local rates. And we expect this to continue going forward as we see no meaningful threat to financial and the fiscal stability or to the maintenance of the US dollar peg FX regime.
And so as lockdown restrictions and social distancing measures have been eased, are we seeing a pickup in consumer activity across the region, Essan?
So good point, Ona. And as lockdowns in many parts of the region have been easing, it's no surprise that some of the data has picked up off the record lows. PMIs in particular for May and June continue to demonstrate that the rebound in corporate conditions is ongoing, and high frequency data in terms of mobility as well as spending have recovered somewhat. However, the recovery remains uneven and heterogeneous. So Google's mobility data shows that while the amount of time spent at retail and recreational venues has increased in all of the regional economies, the pace of the recovery has in fact varied. And some of the recorded weakness could simply be a delayed reaction in some countries, signaling that we could be in an improvement in the next week or indeed coming weeks of data. But a revival in this area of spending is apparent. And though it is not just a function of whether restaurants reopen or whether individuals feel comfortable returning to them, Bahrain indeed was one of the first developed economies to relax its own lockdown restrictions. And over the course of the following weeks, diners returned to restaurants as they reopened. However, in places like Kuwait, where the lockdowns have been more stringent, has not been the same snapback in restaurant sales. And restaurant spending is not just the only consumer-facing area where it's not as much so much regarding the pace of the reopening that will determine the rate of recovery, but the extent to which the fear or caution felt by consumers completely subsides. Indeed, our examination suggests that it's the places with the lower number of COVID-19 cases that have seen the morbidity data snap back much more quickly, signaling that a smaller outbreak may mean that consumers have less fear about returning to crowded places. And of course, some of the regional economies are still in the midst of their outbreaks, and it may take longer for recovery in sectors where large gatherings of individuals are part of them. And finally, beyond the PMI readings and the Google's mobility data highlighting consumer spending, regional central banks, financial system liquidity, and corporate support schemes are beginning to show up in the credit growth data. And so the initial policy response across the region was led by central banks, focusing on financial system liquidity, as well as direct support for corporates to minimize the economic fallout. And these support schemes are beginning to show up in the credit statistics for a rise in lending growth. So a lot of comfort to be taken here in terms of the policy announcements that came at the start of lockdowns back in March.
And finally, Ehsan, what can investors take comfort in, and what signs should they be conscious of in the second half of this year?
Yes, Sona. So broadly speaking, MENA regional governments are tentatively reopening their economies, even some of those where the COVID-19 infection rates are still elevated or indeed accelerating. And until the pandemic is contained globally, though, there are certain parts of the region that may be very slow to recover. Even countries that have had already brought the virus under control will not see travel and tourism normalize, while in those countries where infection rates are still high, many consumers may be reluctant to return to the pre-pandemic spending on consumer-facing services. So our forecast points to a region which, by the end of 2021, has a level of activity that is not just well below its pre-pandemic growth trajectory, but in many cases still below its end 2019 level of activity, and where unemployment and debt will be materially higher. And Ona, we have discussed on previous occasions that the conversation is beginning about what the next normal could entail and how sharply its contours will diverge from those that previously shaped the region. But there remains a lot more questions and answers at the current juncture. And indeed, while the region is weathering the storm, the near-term economic outlook remains troubled. Most importantly, the lockdown imposed in response to the pandemic has been far-reaching and long. And as the region's domestic economy normalizes, growth should recover, bolstered by a pickup in oil output as OPEC plus production restrictions ease. Though at roughly around 4.5%, the recovery will leave overall output around 0.8% smaller at the end of 2021 than at the start of 2020 in our view. And finally, looking ahead, there is much about the pandemic that we really can't be sure of. Indeed, iterative virus waves certainly can't be ruled out. And one actuality that we think is quite clear is that debt ratios will be higher. And that's for individuals, corporates, and especially for government and government-related entities. And in the absence of strong growth, there are only so many ways that the latter can be addressed through austerity, default, inflation, or taxation. And across the MENA region, we are likely to see some mixture of these in some scope, magnitude, indeed, various time frames.
Okay, thank you very much for your insight, Ehsan. Have a good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Ona. Talk soon.
Thank Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from our global markets research team.